Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It's too darn hot. The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Cheryl Glazer. California, New York, Texas, you name it. The summer heat wave is smashing records for power consumption across the country. That has grid officials in some states asking folks to back off the AC and reduce the risk of blackouts. If the demand keeps up, it could convince the feds to push through plans for building new transmission lines. The high-tech sector is hoping to heat things up with a flood of earnings reports this week. IBM and Yahoo kick things off today. Apple, Google, and Microsoft will weigh in later in the week. But as Ashley Milne-Tite reports, so far, investors aren't getting too steamed up.
Wall Street isn't expecting much from technology companies this reporting season. Scott Kessler is an analyst with Standard & Poor's. He says the tech sector has trailed the broader stock indices this year, partly because investors feel there's not much to get excited about.
2006, we think, is going to be remembered as a year without much in the way of killer products or services. So there isn't that one thing that people have to go out and buy.
Sony's much-anticipated PlayStation 3 and Microsoft's new Vista operating system have both been delayed. Still, Kessler thinks the general gloom about tech is unwarranted.
The way the market is acting and the way some of these stocks are being priced, the perception seems to be that there is nothing good that's going to come out of the technology sector.
He predicts tech companies overall should post solid growth. In New York, I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Trading on Wall Street wasn't much to write home about yesterday. Events in the Middle East kept a lid on the market. The Dow added just 8 points, less than a tenth of a percent. The Nasdaq inched up a tad, less than 1 point. A tentative deal between Northwest Airlines and its flight attendants has helped the airline avert the threat of a strike for now. Rank-and-file workers will vote later this month whether to approve the deal. But as Annie Baxter reports, bankrupt Northwest still has other hurdles to clear.
If Northwest's flight attendants ratify the new contract and a small group of about 40 technicians finalizes its own deal, the company will achieve its labor savings goal of $1.4 billion. But even if Northwest hits that fixed target, it still has to take on a moving one, oil. Aviation analyst Michael Miller says Northwest has the oldest airplane fleet among the world's major carriers.
It's as if Northwest has a fleet of Hummers compared to a fleet of Toyota Priuses at other carriers. It's a much more critical issue when oil is high.
Miller says as oil surpasses $76 a barrel, Northwest's fleet restructuring will be just as important as its labor component. In St. Paul, Minnesota, I'm Annie Baxter from Marketplace.
Some good news for General Motors when it comes to car sales here at home. One of the company's top marketing execs told the Wall Street Journal that General Motors numbers are still down compared to last year. GM's share of the U.S. market has stabilized, though, at 24%. But GM's still dealing with another headache, parts supplier Delphi's ongoing negotiations with United Auto Workers. The UAW says recent talks with Delphi haven't gone too well, and a strike could still be in the cards. GM used to own Delphi. Now it relies on the company for many of its auto parts. This is Marketplace. Higher ed is coming with a higher price tag. A year at college can now set you back $45,000, and a new study finds that has more students saying charge it. Jane Lindholm reports.
The federal government provides student loans at relatively low interest rates, but students can only borrow $23,000 from the feds to cover the total cost of their education. Government grants and financial aid at many colleges and universities can make up some of the difference, but Jeff Salingo, editor at the Chronicle of Higher Education, says that's often not enough.
None of these things are keeping pace with tuition, and as a result, these students have to go somewhere.
That somewhere is increasingly private loan providers and even credit card companies. The study from the American Council on Education says the number of students now carrying tuition debt on their credit cards is higher than ever. With Americans already struggling under increasingly large consumer debt, this kind of head start could spell trouble in the future. I'm Jane Lindholm for Marketplace.
And this is American Public Media. Marketplace Morning Report is supported by LendingTree.com, where you can choose from up to four customized loan offers. 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win. LendingTree.com. And by Reuters. Reporting from around the world, every day, every hour, every second, Reuters helps you stay in the know now. This is Marketplace, and I'm Cheryl Glazer. Today in Atlanta, a delegation of Afghan carpet makers meets with carpet importers at a major trade show. It marks the first time Afghan carpet merchants have met face-to-face with buyers in one of the world's biggest markets. Decades of war have kept the two sides apart, but as Miranda Kennedy reports from Kabul, traditional carpet makers are hoping to bridge the gap for good.
Talks between government commerce officials and Afghan carpet makers started off amicably over glasses of green tea. But before the tea could even cool, simmering anger escalated into heated debate. 30 years of conflict in Afghanistan cut traders off totally from their export markets. Afghan carpet makers send their wares to Pakistan, where they're finished and where much of the profit is earned. The carpet makers complain their profit margins are wafer thin. Mohammed Nabi, a haggard-looking carpet trader, takes to the floor to demand government help.
The government isn't giving us the facilities we need to be able to finish making our carpets in Afghanistan. We can't even get a loan here because the banks have no capacity. How are we supposed to be able to compete when we can't even export our products directly to the U.S.? My business is running at a loss for the fourth year in a row.
You hear the same story from all kinds of businessmen here. But government advisor Sultana Pervanta is not sympathetic.
We've talked about this many times before. The fact is, we're trying. At the same time, I really want you, the private sector, the carpet producers, to take more initiative, take more responsibility. Because you see, look around you, look at the city. So much is broken. How do we begin and where do we begin putting these pieces together?
The meeting ends with pleasantries and handshakes, but both sides are frustrated because there are no solutions. But Mark Ward, with the U.S. government's aid agency, says this kind of dialogue is a good start. The U.S. is funding a $6 million project to teach Afghan businesses how to go directly to exporters, like the carpet makers are now in Atlanta.
They need some help learning how to talk to government, and government needs some help learning how to talk to them. And it's educating the government here about the value of the private sector.
Ward says if Afghanistan is ever going to survive without international aid, it has to develop a healthy private sector. But he believes if they do things right, Afghanistan's $150 million carpet industry could double in value in 10 years. In Kabul, I'm Miranda Kennedy for Marketplace.
Hey, want to get your Marketplace Morning Report to go? Well, then check out our podcast at www.marketplace.org. Here in Los Angeles, I'm Cheryl Glazer. Thanks for joining us. Have yourself a great day. American Public Media.
You walk into a 99 cents only store.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.